Hello, my friends, and welcome back for this week's episode of the Practical Parsha podcast. I hope you are well. And this is going to be the last podcast for this year. Rosh Hashanah is coming up this coming Wednesday night. And before we begin this week's episode, I wanted to wish everyone a Ksiva V'Chasima Tova, to be written and sealed for a good new year. It should be a year of success, of happiness, of fulfilling our potential, our spiritual potential, and our material potential as well. And of course, a year of many great podcast episodes. So before we begin, as always, if you have any questions, comments, just would like to reach out, say hello, feel free to introduce yourself in honor of the new year. Send me email, Rabbi Shlomo Kohn, KOHN, @gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. This week's Parsha is Parshas Nitzavim and Vayelech. It's a double Parsha. And just to give a quick overview of these Parshios, so beginning at this point in the book of Devarim, the Parsha of Nitzavim till the end of the Torah takes place on the last day of Moshe's life. And it's really the beginning of the last will and testament of Moshe Rabbeinu that he gives over instructions to the Jewish nation. And the Parsha begins with this renewal of the covenant, that the entire nation is present, and Moshe Rabbeinu brings the entire Jewish nation into another covenant. And he warns the nation about idolatry, to not make the mistakes of our forefathers. And the Parsha also details the eventual repentance and redemption of the Jewish people. Finally, Parsha Nitzavim finishes off with an inspiring message, how the Torah is accessible to all, and it's in front of us to choose either life or death. By following the Torah, we have life. And God forbid, if not, it's death. And Moshe extorts the Jewish people to choose life and to live life to the fullest potential. Parshas Vayelech continues with Moshe Rabbeinu taking leave of the Jewish nation. And Moses giving a charge to Yeshua, giving him strength to lead the nation, as well as the mitzvah of Hakel, where the king of the Jewish nation would read the whole book of Deuteronomy, of the book of Devarim, to the Jewish nation once every seven years. And finally, the Parsha finishes off with Moshe Rabbeinu, his end drawing near, and how the Torah is a testimony for the Jewish nation. The first idea I want to share with you today is in Parshas Nitzavim, when the Torah tells us about the eventual tshuva, the returning that will happen, and the final redemption that will happen to the Jewish nation. So the verse reads as follows: Va'ata shoshavish shamata b'kol Hashem v'asisa es kol mitzvaysav asher anochi mitzavcha hayom. This is chapter 30, verse 8. And you shall return and listen to the voice of Hashem and perform all of His commandments that I command you today. Now, the question that's raised on this verse is that earlier in this paragraph that deals with the eventual returning of the Jewish nation, it says in verse 2 already, Vishavta ad Hashem Elokecha, Vishamata Bikolo, Kechol Asher Anochi Mitzavcha Hayom, Ata Uvonecha, Bechol Levavcha Uvechol Nafshecha. It says regarding the eventual returning of the entire Jewish nation, and you will return unto Hashem your God and listen to His voice, according to everything that I command you today, you and your children, with all your heart and all your soul. So the question that's asked is that, why is the Torah repeating this idea of that the Jewish nation is going to achieve a level of tshuva, of returning? We said it already in verse 2, Pasuk Beis. Why is it necessary to say this again in the description of the eventual redemption? So one answer that I saw brought down from the Tiferes Shlomo is that before a person does tshuva, before a person returns, they don't necessarily have the realization of what they've done wrong. You know, obviously, maybe some inspiration comes into a person, and then they get their life back on track. Or maybe they only realize the more severe things that they've done incorrectly. But once a person corrects his life and starts doing what he's supposed to be doing, and is you know, doing mitzvos, learning Torah, and going in the right direction, so then it dawns on them a new reality of what their obligations were to begin with. Things that they didn't realize were their responsibility before, now they realize it. And it comes out that only once a person achieves a level of tshuva are they able to recognize the obligation and the responsibility that they have. So therefore, the Torah is repeating a second time this tshuva that's going to happen, because after the Jewish people do tshuva the first time, so then they're going to recognize and realize what their responsibility was and what their responsibility is. And therefore, it's going to cause them to do a second tshuva to get to where they're supposed to be. And I think this is a very powerful idea, because when we think about, you know, attaining levels, getting closer to Hashem, you know, the more elevated a person is, the greater the awareness is of our obligations. That the greater we become, the more that it is expected of us. And it's not a scary thing, because, you know, when you know, just like in the workplace, if a person has more responsibility, they get paid more money, right? If, you know, it doesn't, people who get paid a lot of money usually have a lot of responsibility. It goes together. And I think the idea here is that when it comes to our growth, our spiritual growth, and how we perform mitzvos, I think it's very important to have this idea in mind, because the way we put on tefillin, the way that we keep Shabbos, or the way that we do any mitzvah, is it the same way that we've been doing it since we were a child? So we have to remember that as we grow in our lives, so should be the way that we observe mitzvos, the way that we perform them. We shouldn't be doing it still the same way than when we were a child. Hopefully, all the aspects of our Judaism, all the aspects of our Yirah Shamayim, of our fear of heaven, of the things we're doing, should grow as we grow. And doesn't, you know, it's not just for people who are doing mitzvahs when they're a child. You know, if someone only later in life started, you know, doing mitzvahs and started learning, so the way that you're doing it 5 years in shouldn't be the same way you did it when you started out. And I think this is something for us to internalize. This is a message for ourselves, that as we move on in life, we should try to grow with the things we're doing, to not just stay stagnant. And I think one point, just to translate it over, is that if we look at ourselves in this way, that the things we do are constantly growing with it, so then I think the potential that we have, you know, each person has a specific potential that's earmarked for them. But if a person is growing with his mitzvah observance, is growing with his Torah learning, so then the potential that we have also grows with us as well, and we're able to accomplish more than we could have done 5 years ago. So we're able to increase the potential to be even better people than we could have been before. The next idea I want to share with you today takes us to the accessibility of the Torah. So the Pesukim read as follows. Ki ha-mitzvah hazos, asher anochi mitzavcha hayom, lo niflesihi mimcha v'lo rechokehi. For the commandments that I command you today, it is not hidden from you, and it is not distant. Lo yibashomayim hi leimor, mi yala lonu ashomayimo v'yikocheha, lonu v'yashmienu eisonu v'na'asena. Says, it is not in heaven for you to say, who can ascend to the heaven for us and take it for us, so that we can listen to it and perform it. V'loy me'ivar le'yam hi, le'mor mi'avar lonu el eivar hayam v'yikocheo, lonu v'yashmienu oisa v'na'asena. Who can cross to the other side of the sea for us, to take it for us, so that we can listen to it and perform it? Ki karav elecha davar ma'oid, b'ficha u'b'vavcha la'asoso. Rather, the matter is very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart, to perform it. So the Pesukim are telling us that when it comes to the Torah, it's not in heaven, the Torah. It's not found in heaven. It's not found on the other side of the sea. But rather, it's right in front of us. And the commentaries discuss here that the message of the psukim, on just the basic understanding, is that it's up to a person to decide if they want the Torah to be absorbed into them, right? We have to be the ones to do the mitzvahs. We have to be the one to learn the Torah. So, you know, we can't say, there's no excuses. We can't say that it's on the other side of the world, I can't go there. And, you know, we live in a generation where accessibility to Torah learning has probably never been so easy and accessible. There are some of you who are listening to this podcast, other side of the world, right? I'm sitting in Pennsylvania, and there's listeners here all over the world. It's amazing. There's English resources, Spanish, Russian. There's Torah classes online. It's extremely accessible, the Torah. Now, there's a very beautiful idea which I saw, which I wanted to share with you regarding this verse. Rabbi Twersky brings down on his commentary to Chumash that in psychology there seems to be some type of condition where a person sort of disowns a part of himself, right? There's a certain, you know, side of this individual, and they have to like bury it deep down inside of themselves, and certain psychological problems come out when, I guess, these behaviors or this tendencies are trying to come out, and he has to suppress it, and it can cause certain issues. But he says there's another way to look at the different parts of ourselves. We know that a human being is made up of two parts. We have the physical and the spiritual. There's the animal soul and the spiritual soul. And there's different wordings for it depending on which, you know, if you're from the Hasidic background, they call it the Nefesh HaBahamas and the Nefesh HaLakus, that this animal soul and the godly soul. But the basic idea is that a human being is a combination of a physical being and a godly soul, and both of these forces are diametrically opposed to each other. And our job is to take this physical body and harness it for spirituality. Now, every person has different strengths and weaknesses, different good things about themselves, and maybe things we're not so proud of about ourselves. But the what our job is in life is to take the things that are maybe not so good and to channel them to the good. Obviously, the good things to use those strengths we have, to use them to be the best we can be. But also the things that are hard for us, to channel them and to use them positively in the service of Hashem. And every single one of our traits, no matter good or bad, can be harnessed in the proper way to be used for Avodas Hashem, to be used for service of God. There's a famous midrash that's brought down that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim to receive the Torah, the heavenly angels objected to the Torah being brought down to the Jewish nation. And they said, you know, the Torah is too holy for human beings. And Moshe retorted to them, it says in the Torah, do not steal. Are you able to steal, angels? It says in the Torah, do not covet your neighbor's wife. Does that apply to you, angels? It says in the Torah, you shall not murder. Are you able to kill one another? So with this argument, Moshe Rabbeinu won over the angels and brought the Torah down to the Jewish nation. Now, it's interesting, this medrash, to understand it. But the point of the medrash is that malachim, angels, are totally spiritual beings. They don't have any other desire than to serve Hashem. That's all they do. In fact, they don't even have a choice. That's all they do, just the will of God. But us human beings, we're not totally spiritual. We have this animal, physical soul in us. And therefore, it's only appropriate that we receive the Torah, that we get the Torah. Angels don't need the Torah because they don't have any desires. And if you look at the 365 prohibitions in the Torah about what you can't do, it talks to human beings because we're the ones who need it if we're the ones who could act like that. And the point is that at the same time, the message of the parsha, what the Torah is telling us here, that the Torah is not in Shamayim, the Torah is not in heaven, that rather the Torah is meant, it's not meant for angels, it's meant for each and every one of us. And therefore, if we have this idea in our minds that the Torah is meant for us human beings, and human beings are physical beings, that all the different prohibitions in the Torah can be part of each and every one of us, those desires and those urges and those feelings. And our job and our mission in life is to master those feelings, to master every single aspect of our character, to make it totally in the pursuit of serving Hashem. And that's one of the messages from this pasuk, that when it says Lo Bashamayim, that we shouldn't think to ourselves that observing the Torah is something for the angels. It's something for people who are holy. No, it's for all of us. And it's something that we can attain, this level of holiness, to master all our traits. And going along these lines is actually another midrash that Rabbi Twersky brings down that sort of brings out this point. And the Tiferes Yisrael brings this midrash that there once was a king that wanted to see Moshe Rabbeinu, to see a picture of him. So he sent his artists to go and to go look at Moshe Rabbeinu, to see him, to draw a picture of him. And when they came back to the king had this picture of this, you know, this man, and it was a beautiful picture, and he brought it to the wise men of his kingdom who were able to look at people's faces. It's called Chochmos HaPartzov. There's a skill, and this is a known thing. People are able to look at people's facial expressions and how they look and see certain traits about them. You know, there's some people who read that you could look at someone's palm. There's certain chachma, there's certain knowledge in that. And this king had these people who are experts in looking at people's facial features to decide what type of person they are. And he said, this person is an immoral person, lustful person, a desiring person, a jealous person, all the bad traits. And how could this be Moshe Rabbeinu? How could this be Moses? So the king went himself with the picture to see Moshe Rabbeinu, and it came out that the picture was exactly the same. And the Midrash tells us that when the king asked Moshe Rabbeinu, how could this be? How could, you know, all my advisors, all my people said that you were lustful and you know, jealous and, you know, immoral. He says, that's how I was born, because this, knowledge is only looking at a person of how they were born. But I was able to master it and to overcome these desires within me to become the great Moshe Rabbeinu. And I think that's the point of every person. We're all born, we're all human beings, but it's our job to become perfect. We are not perfect, but we need to become perfect. And that's something which takes a lifetime of work, and it's something that we can accomplish one step at a time, one day at a time. The last idea I want to share with you today takes us to Parshas Vayelech. Towards the end of the Parsha, where Moshe Rabbeinu is declaring how the Torah is a testimony to the Jewish people for all time, for eternity, the pasuk reads as follows: V'hoyaki simtzeena oisoi rois rabois vitzorois v'onsa ashir hazois lefanov la'ed ki loisishkach mi pizaro ki adati es yitzro asher hu oisa hayoim b'terem avienu el aretz asher nishpati. It shall be that when many evils and distresses come upon it, then this song shall speak up before it as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten from the mouth of its offspring, for I know its inclination, what it does today, before I bring them to the land that I have sworn. The psukim here, the verses here, are a promise that the Torah will never be forgotten from the Jewish nation. No matter how far we fall, it'll always be with us. Maybe times more than others, but it will never be forgotten. And there's a very beautiful explanation from the Malbim, and I think it actually ties very beautifully into Rosh Hashanah. The Malbim explains that this verse is also interpreted as a divine promise to be forgiving of the Jewish people in all situations. And to back up this idea, the Malbim brings down a Gemara, brings the Talmud. in Brachos 32b, that when Elijah, pleaded with the Jewish nation who had become idolatrous, he said to God, "It was you who made it possible for them to go astray." And God admitted, "Yes, I created the Yetzer Hara." Meaning, Hashem takes responsibility for our sins because he created us with this Yetzer Hara, this evil inclination, which is so strong. Now, you might be thinking for a second, what am I getting at? Am I trying to give us get us off scot-free that we're not responsible for our actions? No, of course we're responsible for our actions. But there's something deeper here which the Malbim is getting at. If you think about tshuva for a minute, returning, which is this time of year, which is Rosh Hashanah, why does God forgive us? Why does tshuva, returning, work? And there's such a level of tshuva where a person can take his averos, his sins, and turn them into zechuyos, and turn them into merits. It's a very high level. Tshuva me'ahava, you know, returning from love. And the reason why tshuva works, you know, as compared to, let's say, our world, where a person does something wrong, they say they're sorry. If they kill somebody, saying sorry doesn't work. A person does something against the government, doesn't work, sorry. Doesn't say I'm sorry, even if they're very sincere. Maybe the sense will be a little bit lighter, but it's not going to make things go away. But by us, by tshuva, even if we sin against Hashem in the most severe way, with sincere tshuva, with sincere returning and a resolution not to repeat what we've done, it works. It's effective. Tshuva is effective. And the answer to that is that tshuva is effective because Hashem understands how vulnerable we are and how hard it is. And he understands the temptations and the cunningness of the Yetzer Hara that we each one of us have. So therefore, if we realize that we've made a mistake, we've been tricked by the Yetzer Hara, we've slipped up. So therefore, Hashem takes us into consideration. He sees our desire to be better, to improve ourselves and to not do it again, and forgives us. The Hasidic master, the Shpela Zeda, used to plead for the Jewish nation to Hashem. He would say, "Master of the universe, you have placed all the temptations before people's eyes," meaning it's all out for us to see, all the temptations. "But the punishment of Gehenna, the punishment of hell, is only described in the books." He said, if you had placed Gehenna before people's eyes and the temptations in the books, I assure you no one would sin. Now, there's obviously no justification to sin. We're in control of our actions. But at the same time, Hashem recognizes who we are. We're basar v'dam. We are flesh and blood. We have a Yetzer Hara. It is so confusing out there. Sometimes the things that are wrong look right, and the things that are right look wrong. And it could be so confusing, and we have desires, and there's so many pulls in different directions. But Hashem promises to forgive because he knows the power of the evil inclination. So I think the message that we could take out of this is that we have responsibilities. We can't just, you know, we can't sin. We're in charge of our own actions. We are responsible for ourselves. But at the same time, we shouldn't let the fact that we've sinned hold us back from returning. Many times people think to themselves, like, what good is it already? I'm already too far gone. Hashem won't forgive me. And a person can be discouraged from ever turning, you know, back to Hashem, from doing that tshuva to return to Hashem. You know, this is something for this time of year by Rosh Hashanah. And the answer is no. Hashem knows who we are. He sees your desire to turn your life around. He sees your desire to be better. He knows the challenges you're going through, and he's going to give you the benefit of the doubt to help you, and he's going to give you that push, benefit of the doubt, and he's going to be forgiving because he knows where you come from. And this is a very empowering message we should take with us going into Rosh Hashanah, to realize, to not give up, to know that Hashem is on our side. He knows what we have to deal with, but it's up to us to have that sincere turnaround, to put our heart in the right place, to resolve not to do the sins again, not to do the averos again, and to make a plan for the future. And I just, if I could leave off with one idea, is that it's brought down that one way to try to ensure a good verdict on Rosh Hashanah is that obviously we do teshuva, we want to return, we think about, we reflect about the past year. But aside from reflecting about the past year, to think about something small that we could improve on for the next year. Something small, some type of mitzvah, maybe some area in our life we could do a little bit better. Think about it. Maybe it's between other people. Maybe it's dealing with our parents. Maybe it's a mitzvah we could take upon ourselves. Something very small. Maybe it's a little bit more Torah learning. Maybe it's, I don't know, we have to think about it ourselves. Maybe it's putting on tefillin. Think about something small. And it doesn't have to be forever. It could be for a week or 2 weeks. We could reassess then. And when we do that, we're showing Hashem, we're, you know, it's tying right into this verse because Hashem knows how we are. But if he sees that we're trying, and we're trying to be better, so then we're able to tap into this feeling, this consideration that Hashem knows where we come from because he sees the sincerity we have in our heart to be better. So with that, I'm going to finish for today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed. If you have any questions, comments, or would like to reach out, feel free to send me an email at rabbishlomocohen, KOHN, at gmail.com. Have a great day.